Hello, and welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew, a show where two friends crawl through a river of bad movies and hope to come out clean on the other side.
Welcome, everybody, to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew.
Ooh!
Was that a wolf?
Indeed it was.
This week, we're re-reviewing Wolf Cop because our first take, which we recorded a week ago, was lost in the internet abyss. But we're back to give you a more concise, even better polished episode.
Yeah, so for you all, this is take one, but for us, this is all take two, and so we'll see how that goes. First off, we want to give a shout out to the writer and director, Logan. Earlier in the week, you put out something on Twitter about us having to do that, and he actually wrote us back, so that was pretty awesome. So hopefully, I don't know if he'll end up hearing this, but yeah, we absolutely love the movie. We'll get into the details about it first, or here in a little bit. But one thing we wanted to do is kind of, for anyone who's new to the podcast, to kind of talk about what we're trying to do with this and what kind of things we're looking for.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, definitely go watch it if you want to, because we are going to go into the plot and not only love on it a little bit because this is a fun movie, but, definitely talk about its cheesy goodness and, there's lots of it in this film, and a lot of it is stuff you can't unsee. So,
God no.
So if you want, go watch it. Otherwise, be prepared. Spoilers incoming.
Yeah, and he's definitely right about the stuff you can't unsee. I mean, I watched it again for a second time, which I'll say up front, it was, I think, better the second time around for me. I wasn't taking notes or anything, so I was really just watching the movie, and it was definitely just as much fun the second time around as it was the first. And it is available on Netflix, so anyone who's got Netflix, it's there on streaming.
Yeah.
So yeah, just with Cheese Flicks in general, what we're doing is, you know, we're looking for generally lower budget movies, maybe movies that didn't hit the theaters, and, you know, we call them, you know, cheesy movies, or I don't really like to say B movies because it implies that they're bad, and this was definitely not a bad movie, but we're kind of looking for those diamonds in the rough. You know, I think we found a couple so far, Into the Grizzly Maze, our first episode. I think that was our first episode, right?
Yeah.
So that was definitely one, and we found some ones that weren't so good, like Raptor Island. But you know, that's the way it goes. So this one was definitely a winner. And I think with that, we'll kind of get into, we'll start talking about the movie. So yeah, Wolf Cop. I mean, just the name by itself tells you that this is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So you open up and we first meet Lou Guru, which actually something I forgot to mention last time. Do you know like anything about his name?
Lou Guru sounds familiar. Is that like a tale in some old?
Yeah, if you add a P to Lou, so like, I don't know how you say it, because I'm assuming it's from a different language, but like Loop or Loop Guru is essentially just another term for werewolf. So like werewolf, Loop Guru, like lycanthrope, like all those are kind of just different terminology for essentially the same thing. So we meet Lou, our hero, and the first scene, he's getting out of bed. He's hungover. He's got some woman in the bed, and he's starting off the day right off the bat with a beer. It's a theme that pretty much carries throughout the rest of the film with Lou, is he is a raging alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy is definitely, he's a cop, but the worst example.
He's a cop in name only.
Yeah. He's got the badge and a police car and a gun, but other than that, he is pretty much nothing better than a drunken idiot who kind of he's so apathetic. I mean, in the beginning of the movie, he gets in his car and drives by what, like three or four like literal crimes in progress that he just kind of looks at him and he's like, whatever, ignores. I don't care.
Yep.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, so Lou gets to the police station, and it's obviously this is a small town. He's working with one other officer, Tina, who's won Cop of the Month every month for the last couple years. They have a little chart in the office that shows how many cases they've each solved, and it's like 7 for Tina and 1 for Lou. You know, Lou's the chief of police comes in, is giving Lou shit for being late and all that. And they're asking him to go check out a disturbance call from Crazy Willie, who he's like the town's like gun dealer. He's running like a gun shop, which is pretty terrifying once you meet Willie, because he's sort of like comes off as like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist type guy. And so Lou goes out to meet with Willie, who's showing him video of this like ritualistic stuff that's out there in the woods, you know, and saying that something shady's going on. And Lou, who's while he's saying this, is dumping out an entire flask full of some kind of liquor into his coffee, or maybe not. Maybe the cup was empty and he's just drinking it straight. Yeah, I don't know.
And that's where you kind of see Willie's, I love his sense of humor in this movie. Whoever wrote his character did a great job, because it's like, he's kind of this plucky sidekick that you kind of see throughout the film, but he almost like says what the audience is thinking. As soon as he starts pouring the liquor into his cup, like he just says like, "Damn man, that's fucked up," or something. Like,
Willie was great. He was Willie was also in another kind of lesser known movie that I really love called Goon, a hockey movie. I think it's on Netflix, and he plays a Percocet addicted goalie who's got some of the better kind of one liners in this. So it was cool to see him as Crazy Willie. So Lou basically blows this guy off and decides he's going to follow a lead and head to the bar.
With air quotes, yeah.
Yeah. Which this seems to be pretty much where Lou is probably posted up while on duty and off of duty, is at the local bar. And you kind of start getting some backstory of what's going on in the town. You know, there's an upcoming election for mayor going on. They're planning a drink and shoot. You know, which is exactly what it sounds. The town gets together, gets hammered, and goes out hunting for this, what would you call it? Like, kind of like this Bigfoot figure, this mythological.
Like a walking bear or something?
Yeah, they call it a walking bear, that they're going to be looking for. And I just, you know, the whole drink and shoot thing I thought was pretty funny.
Personally, I would love to live in this town. It sounds like fun. I mean, they have a liquor donuts shop.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Lou isn't really even an alcoholic by this town's standards. He's just kind of like a guy. Well, that's not true. They definitely are giving him a lot of shit throughout the movie about his alcoholism, including his boss, which, you know, kind of when Lou gets back and the boss catches him sleeping at his desk, he's telling him that maybe you could go get off your bar stool for once. Like, what the hell?
How does he get to keep his job is amazing.
Yeah, how does he get to keep his job? And then, like, aren't you concerned for, like, your coworker just as a human being? Like, he's clearly has some serious substance abuse issues, and you're just like, do your job. So, yeah, I think now that we're back, well, he's back in the office, they got another call, right? This is when they get another call to the woods.
Yeah, and they find out, I guess he decides he'll take it and heads on out there and finds the politician. There's a movie.
Yeah, the other guy that's running for mayor.
Yeah. Mayor is, I guess, the incumbent, who's this older woman. You see a poster of her in the town early in the movie, and you kind of see it's kind of put into play that there's a election coming up, and you kind of meet this guy named Terry, who's the challenger who shows up at the bar that Lou's at earlier, but then he goes out to the forest and you know, check out this call and finds Terry all strung up and not looking too good.
No, so then he gets, like, hit over the head, and he wakes up the next day back in his bed, kind of woozy, and right off the bat, you can kind of tell that something's up with Lou. I think they did a really good job with the kind of sound effects, showing that his senses are heightened, he's hearing and smelling things that he wouldn't normally, you know, he tries to shave his face, and like Tim Allen and the Santa Claus, it pretty much comes back right away. So, I mean, you as the audience, you know, being that the movie's called Wolf Cop, have a pretty good idea that Lou, you know, whatever they did to him has turned him into a werewolf, and Lou's still kind of trying to figure it out in his hungover state. So
now that you say that, do you think that Santa Claus is a werewolf?
What?
You said, like, Tim Allen and Santa Claus. I'm like, holy shit, is Santa Claus a werewolf? I mean, it's... Mind blown.
I'm just going to leave that one there.
No comment.
No comment. You totally lost my train of thought.
Well, he wakes up. He starts to, like, you know, shave, and the hair grows right back. And then now they don't know what happened to him, because he doesn't even really know what happened to him. He's like obviously not remembering the night before at all.
Yeah, he's kind of getting these glimpses of things or images in his head when he's smelling stuff of what maybe happened, but it's fragmented. He doesn't know what's going on. Well, then he gets the call to go out to the crime scene, and they find Terry, the politician, is like slumped over by a tree. He's got a needle in his arm, indicating like a drug overdose, and like his throat's gashed, and he's got a hunting rifle. And the coroner's out there basically saying that it looks like it's probably going to be ruled a like an overdose. And I just thought it was funny. It was like just a weird way to stage it. Like, why would somebody go out hunting and then also using drugs? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm going to shoot up some heroin and go
slit my own throat.
Right. So I think they were kind of saying that they think like some animal got to him after he had OD'd and died. But just the combination of why would a drug addict be out there, you know? So that looked weird. I mean, you already know that obviously what they're saying it is isn't what it actually is. So there's a lot of things kind of throughout the movie that don't add up. And I, the first time watching it, I was kind of thinking like, oh, God, these are some pretty weird plot holes. Like, why are they getting calls out to the middle of the woods? You know, why is people asking for Lou to go out to the middle of the woods? Who's calling a disturbance call out there? You know, but once you get to the end and everything kind of comes together, it all ends up making sense of why all this stuff was going on and why these individuals who are making the calls are making them. So the mayor decides to cancel the drink and shoot, you know, upsets the town. People are all mad. It's the first time in like 32 years since the thing has been canceled. And the last time it had been canceled was also because of a kind of a mysterious murder. So you're kind of starting to get this backstory of stuff in the town. So then the next time we see Lou, he is again back at the bar.
But this time he's actually doing police work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, baby steps. So he's still hammering those drinks back. He's still going shot for shot. But yeah, he's got some police work actually on the bar, and he's talking to the hot bartender, who were the two of them kind of seem like they got a little bit of a flirtation going on.
A little bit of a flirtation there, bud. I think you're right. And that's what – and then so that's when you kind of see more of her. Her name is Jessica, I think, and she's like kind of, you know, I guess the owner of the bar. But she ends up noticing – she takes notice of what he's doing and is like, wow, are you actually doing police work? I've never seen you do that before. And she goes – she kind of decides to close up shop. And she notices the clock and then like kind of takes the garbage out and notices that there's some ruffians out in the street that are – they're both looking at each other, but they're not like – she's not scared of them. And that's when Lou – she gives Lou like five or six shots of Jack Daniels before she starts closing up the shop. Yes. And
she's pumping him full of liquor pretty hard, and it kind of is looking like she's shoving out the customers because she's getting ready to get some sweet Lou action.
Yeah.
Although I guess I thought the first time through I'm thinking like, man, she should better watch it on this liquor, like – it's going to go to the point that he's not going to be much use to you.
Yeah, he's like, you're pretty, lady. I like you. But yeah, so then he all of a sudden is like, well, I got to get up. I don't know if he looked like he was going to sick or just had to go to the bathroom, but he goes down to the basement where the bathrooms are. And I said this the first take, so now Andrew can take it from here.
Yeah, I knew you were. that's all right. The other thing that I had to talk about, you can do later on. So this is probably the first thing this is something in the movie that you will not be able to unsee. It is one of the most disturbingly hilarious scenes in a movie that I don't think I'll ever forget this. So Lou stumbles down to the bathroom. He starts getting sick. You know, he's trying to clean himself up. You know, he kind of is trying to get back up there to the hot bartender so he can get some. And then right before he leaves, he goes to the urinal. And the camera's just kind of showing him, you know, pissing into the urinal there. And then his urine just turns straight to blood. Like, just beet red. And then the camera just turns straight to his dick. Which is, you know, I've had the opportunity to see this twice now. I don't like the right word, but, you know, he's holding it in his hand, and as soon as they show it, it's just starting to throb outwards like a long water balloon, and then starts turning black and furry. So, I'll give credit to the movie makers for coming up with the most unique way to show the beginning of a werewolf transformation. Is let's start with the dick,
and then go from there. Yeah, that's the first part to change when you become a werewolf.
So yeah, so these bad guys come in as Lou's making his change, and you don't really know what they're up to. It's, you know, I was presuming at first that they were there to kind of rob the place, but Lou tears these guys up. You know, one of them gets away, but he kills the other ones and then runs away. And you want to talk from where Lou wakes up?
Yeah, so pretty much, well, you do see that Jessica does notice that, I think she notices Lou escape, but then he wakes up. The next, it kind of fades to another scene. And then when you find Lou, he's chained to a bed with pink handcuffs, fluffy pink handcuffs.
And a video camera.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a video camera. I forgot about that. And I thought it was Jessica that, you know, had done that to him maybe. And nope, it's our buddy Willie.
So, yeah, like Willie definitely has like a bestiality thing going on. Like, throughout this movie, he is obsessed with wanting to tape Lou, and has one of the funniest lines and a word I didn't know what it meant that we'll get to later that I think will be something that you and I will be saying to each other for a while. So he's taping him and shows Lou the tape of the previous night where Lou was going through the woods and has a wolf and Willie tranks him like three times, drags him back to his place. And it's basically explaining to him, like, you're a werewolf, you know, we're going to need to keep an eye on you and all that for the next couple of days because this eclipse is going up. And, you know, Willie, I guess, with all his conspiracy theories and whatnot, knows about werewolves. So then Tina shows up at Willie's place to pick up Lou. I did like her quick little response to Lou asking, like, how the heck do you know I'd be here? She's like, I'm a cop. Yeah. You know,
and definitely you ever heard routine police work, asshole?
Right. I mean, Tina, she's the only, probably the only public servant in this town that's like worth a damn.
Yeah.
Because the sheriff, obviously complacent with people being alcoholics and drinking on the job, and she's stuck on night shift, poor girl. So then they get called to the bar because now, you know, the bartenders had to call the police because of the men who broke in who were killed. So Lou doesn't really remember what goes on. He kind of remembers the beginning of the transformation. Everything else is kind of a blur. And what's interesting is that the bartender doesn't tell the police what she saw. So you definitely tell that she's got something to do with this. She's in on it to some extent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she does kind of thank Lou for what, you know, for kind of rescuing her. She kind of puts it in her words. I guess she's kind of like bending the, you know, the plot to her. I guess you can kind of, I really didn't trust her at this point. You know, I was like, I kind of have a feeling she's up to no good, especially since you don't really know what happened to Lou the previous night. And I was thinking that she was in cahoots with the drug dealer guy who you meet shortly after. I mean, he was actually in the movie, I think, earlier at the bar when the politician shows up. But then it kind of cuts to the one guy that survived goes back and talks to...
Yeah, now like the head bad guy who's... he's the actor who played sort of the head frat guy in Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Which is a phenomenal movie, kind of had this Neo kind of ghetto punk Neo look going on throughout the movie with the black leather coat and all that. So he's yelling at the guy for not, as we now find out, the goal of their little criminal endeavor was to kidnap Lou. Mm-hmm. And he's yelling at him for, why didn't you do this before 10 o'clock? You know, so 10 o'clock apparently is like the magical time when he instantly turns into a werewolf, which I thought that was kind of funny. It's like, what, you know, all the clocks are set at exactly the right time. Yeah. You know, it's like that none of them are off by a minute or two because it's always right at 10 that he starts changing. I mean, Neo goes so far as to take this guy's eye out with a switchblade.
Yeah.
Because, which this I will say I thought was a missed opportunity, is the bad guy who screwed up the kidnapping says, you know, I was keeping my eye on him the whole time. And then the Neo bad guy stabs him in the eye with a switchblade and throws the eye on the knife towards the wall and it sticks into the wall and says, keep your eye on the time. And I really wish that knife would have gone into a clock.
Yeah.
That'd have been awesome. But still good little line there for the bad guy. So now Lou, we go back to Lou and he's kind of continuing his investigation at the library now, right?
Yeah. And he's kind of pouring through different things. And I think he kind of scares the entire library at this point because he kind of what does he say? He's like, you got any books on devil worship?
Yeah, he just shouts it out. Yeah, I mean, he is drunk. I mean, he is drinking again at the library. But yeah, he just shouts out, hey, y'all got any books on devil worship? So he kind of finds the article about shapeshifters.
Yeah.
And kind of their relationship to werewolves and how they are sort of sustain themselves or are able to extend their lifespan by drinking werewolf blood.
Yeah. And they kind of explain how the whole ritual starts is they have to, I guess, gather enough blood from a person. And that's where the politician came into play.
Like and sacrificing then, an innocent.
Right. And then they try to give the... They try to turn whoever's the village idiot into the werewolf so they're not as smart or dangerous because they figure, you know, if as long as it's a werewolf, that's all that matters. So why make the werewolf someone who could potentially utilize their power to, you know, hurt the changelings in some way? So they try to pick somebody who nobody's really going to care about or, you know, or is obviously not a functioning member of society. And they're like, Lou's perfect.
Yeah. Definitely. The only thing I thought was weird is, like, why wouldn't you just, like, kidnap him and turn him into a werewolf and keep him captive throughout the whole process? Like, is there something about the ritual where he actually has to, like, go out, you know? Like, wouldn't it have been simpler if you just chained him up and kept him chained up?
Yeah, like...
But I guess it would have been a pretty boring movie, and we wouldn't have had all these sweet wolf cop scenes coming up. So, well, now Lou goes back to the police station where, Willie's going to keep him in the jail cell, basically, so he can't hurt himself or hurt anyone else as he changes. Actually offers him a pill to kind of deal with the pain, and he turns down the pill, says he should do this sober, and then proceeds to chug more liquor out of his flask. I'll let you want to take it from there.
Yeah, so then I guess he sets up a video camera, and you can tell, like, Willie's a little too excited about this. And then he's like, I think this is where the phrase lose your gitch comes from, is he's got him in the cage, and he's like, okay, Lou, lose your gitch. Lose your gitch for science. And at the time, I guess it's, like, something to do with hockey. A gitch is, I guess, your undergarments that you put your pads in. But it's like your underwear, and I didn't know what that was. I had to Google it. So
yeah, so I guess it's a Canadian. I mean, this is a Canadian movie. I know we'll talk a little bit about that towards the end. So yeah, that's what I came up with when I had to look that up on Urban Dictionary, what a gitch was. But just it was the delay. It's like, take off your gitch.
Come on.
Take off your gitch for science. Oh, my God. That was great. So Lou breaks out of the cell and decides that he wants to go be a cop. This is where I think one of the best lines in the movie is Willie says that this isn't a good idea. He says, you're a wolf. And Lou's immediate response is cop. So yeah. You're a wolf, cop. And as we've said before, that's bringing this whole thing up a level when you can fit it in the name of the movie into the dialogue. So that was awesome. So this is where we get to the robbery scene.
Yeah, so they, you know, they pick up. He picks up the phone while he's in this wolf cop state, and there's a robbery in progress at a liquor store, and it's being robbed by three little pigs, or three robbers with pig masks on, and they're just stealing crate of, you know, cases of liquor and whatnot at a gunpoint, and he kills. He basically just shows up and kills two of them, and then there's one in the liquor store still, you know, holding up the clerks and people that are in there, and he just jumps in and pulls a gun on him out of nowhere. I think there's a little bit of a shootout, but there's no match. You're no match for Lou.
Well, yeah, I mean, he, you know, they're shooting at him, and Lou hasn't really figured out yet that he's pretty much invulnerable to bullets. So it doesn't go well for the robbers. And then as soon as they go out, and the whole time, like when he gets back to the car, Willie's like yelling. I was like, Willie, or he's like, Lou, we gotta stay low and keep a low profile. And then Lou looks, and next to the convenience store is a Autobot, or like a body or car shop.
Yeah,
body shop, sorry. I just thought it was hilarious to me how quickly Willie's attitude on keep a low profile changes.
Yeah.
because the wolf gets a big smile on his face, and Willie's like, I know exactly what you're thinking. And we cut a little montage where we find out that Lou, or maybe it's just because he's a werewolf now, has some pretty excellent skills as a welder.
Yep.
And he transforms his cop car into a wolf cop car. And if you're asking what a wolf cop car looks like, it's solid black. You cut out a giant W in the hood so that the fire from the engine glows from underneath. Mm-hmm. You take the top light bar and you turn it 90 degrees. So it's running kind of like along the length of the car instead of the width of it. Mm-hmm. And you put some kick-ass wolf ears on the back.
Yes. So it's like kind of a badass Mad Max-like car.
Yes.
Ready for battle and ready to chase down the bad guys, I suppose.
Which I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what the Wolf Cop car looks like in Wolf Cop 2.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. So they go, or now that Lou's got his sweet Wolf Cop car, he goes on a Wolf Cop crime stopping spree. So he stops the graffiti artist that he passed at the beginning of the movie. The guy's assaulting that random dude, I think. And then he goes to this barn where these the criminals who were trying to kidnap him and all that are cooking up some meth and having a big, like, raging biker party.
Yeah, biker party in a barn.
Yeah, and he goes in there and tears these guys up.
Yeah.
He literally rips one of their faces off.
Yeah, and then that guy, you know, I think they really like the special effects they did for that, because that guy comes back later and screams at Willie.
Still alive, yeah.
He's like, so he tears his face off, and you see like the front of his skull, and he's just like, ah, like, you know, he's screaming through his no faced head. And then later he shows up again, like probably like 2 minutes later after Lou's killed like three or four people, and then screams at Willie, who's just sitting in the police car.
Who again is like just kind of muttering to himself, like, Lou, we got to keep a low profile. But Lou's on a rampage. He's not hearing any of it. He calls somebody to say we got a problem. So you don't really know. I'm talking about Willie. Calls somebody to say we got a problem with Lou. You don't really know who he's talking to. But they get Lou back to the police station afterwards. And now it's your turn to talk about the next awesome scene that happens. Since I did
it. Yeah. So again, I'm not really sure who's a bad guy and who's a good guy, because I for sure thought Willie was there, but then he definitely had that, you know, strange phone call saying that there's a problem, and they go back to the prison where, you know, the transformation originally happened, and he took off his Gitch for science, and Jessica's there. Jessica's there, and she's dressed up like Little Red Riding Hood. She's got her little red hood on and everything with a picnic basket.
Well, if she was a hooker.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
Because she has a hood on, and that's about it. I mean, well, that's not true. She's in, like, a total lingerie, like, get-up.
Yeah.
So, not sweet little Red Riding
Hood. Oh, yeah, that's like, true. This is like not like
college girl.
This is, like, Halloween costume. Yeah. Like, So then she kind of immediately, and he's still a werewolf, mind you, and she doesn't seem to care. And I think Willie's like, I don't know if this is such a good idea, and she, and then he's, and then Lou's just like, get out of here. This is gonna happen.
Really, Willie should be like having like a raging boner for this. With yeah, as much
he'd be like, let me get my video camera out, and I'll take my gitch off for science.
Right. But definitely gonna tape the wolf sex going on since he. Oh my god! All right.
So yeah. So they end up having a very romantic. Little scene for their romance. It's very tasteful. She takes off her Red Riding Hood outfit, and he takes off his police uniform, and it's werewolf and woman. I mean, what could be more natural than that in a Canadian police station? And there's candles and nice music.
Yeah, she lit the candles. Before. It's very tender.
Yeah, it's very tasteful for a werewolf sex scene. And that was probably the whole most hilarious part is the fact that this is all taking place in a police station jail cell, and they decided to like lots of candles, and there's like mood lighting, and I guess that was all in the picnic basket. But yep, it was. That's another one of the things where you really can't unsee. I mean, it's like you're watching a werewolf bang a woman. It's
like from behind against the jail cell bars.
It's weird.
So they leave, or she after you know, after the sex and after they have their post-sex cigarettes and all that, Little Red Riding Hood doses Lou with something and he passes out. Mm-hmm. And then she shapeshifts into the mare. So dun, this dun, is dun. Yeah, so that's kind of the first, I think this is the first one that you see, is that you know, the bartender is in fact the mayor or vice versa, but, you know, she's not who she says she is. And they kind of cut away from that. And now Tina arrives back at the police station. So she's kind of been chasing around, like, behind Lou this whole time, like, kind of discovering the robbery scene and then the stuff at the barn and all that. And she sees the security footage, so she pulls like the footage from the security cameras in the police station, and she gets to watch the wolf porn.
Yep.
And she's just, you know, like you would, pretty much like, what the fuck? But she gets suited up, so she gets, you know, she gets her vest on and gets her sweet Aves on, and she ends up taking out the wolf cop car to go track down the bad guys.
And save Lou. Man, where would this movie be without Tina?
Oh, no. Everybody's fucked without Tina. Like, Lou never makes it out alive if it's not for Tina. That's without a doubt. Lou probably wouldn't even have a job if it wasn't for Tina, like, single-handedly like, keeping the crime at bay for this town. You know what? I think after Wolf Cop 2, we need to look at, like Wolf Cop 3, like, a whole thing just about Tina. Like, her exploits and adventures.
The shit I have to put up with.
Yeah.
So she was actually Lou ended up being kidnapped by Willie, you find out. And they kind of, I guess it cuts to the ritual. So you kind of find out.
So they go in the woods and Lou's chained up to a tree. And the shapeshifters who you now know the shapeshifters are the mayor / bartender. Willie, and I don't remember who Willie alternated between. It wasn't like another major character, but they show him with a different face on. I just don't recall.
Yeah.
Which one it was. And then dun dun dun, the sheriff / meth dealer.
Yeah, they're the same guy. And then it all kind of comes together, like why they're all right. In on it together. And that whole ritual in the book, it's pretty much happening right in front of us.
Yeah, so you know why the sheriff insisted that Lou take the call, why Willie's calling in these disturbance calls. It was all just a ploy to get Lou out to the woods. So kind of real good tying everything together. I really, there wasn't anything I thought that they left sort of unaddressed. You know, you find out in this last scene that Lou's father, we hadn't mentioned this yet, but Lou's father was a cop who was previously killed 32 years ago, the last time that the drink and shoot happened. So you kind of find out that Lou's dad was turned into the werewolf, and that Tina's dad, right?
Yeah, Tina's dad was the one that was turned into the werewolf, I thought, and then Lou's dad was the one who went out looking for him and got killed in the process. It's like his dad was like a really good cop, and he's a terrible cop.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whichever way it was, but that's how, you know, kind of what had happened in the past, because they're saying like, oh, I killed your dad on this very spot 30-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Lou changes as the eclipse is starting to happen, and they, you know, puncture him in the side so they can drain out his blood and, you know, sustain their lives. And the real hero of the movie, Tina, shows up and, like, just straight sniper shots, takes out Willie, just like one shot, one kill.
Yeah.
Drops him, and then you see him shapeshift back into his true form, which is,
I don't know. A lizard man kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like a lizard creature.
And that would be probably like the worst of the graphics you see. There's like a flash of, you know, special effects as his face changes from a human into a lizard.
Yeah, that and that's really and saying that that was probably the weakest effect in the movie. I would definitely agree with you. It's definitely not a ding against the movie at all, because the effects in this movie, I thought, and we'll talk. I want to talk more about this at the end. Were really top notch for what they had to work.
Oh, definitely,
with. So this is kind of like games on now. Tina's taking out henchmen right and left.
Yeah, because the changelings have kind of set up a perimeter around this ceremony to kind of keep anyone out. But you can't keep Tina out when she's, you know, ready to out for blood.
No, this is like this Tina, like it, picture the sort of the last assault scene in Hot Fuzz, you know, with Simon Pegg and
Nick,
the other, and Nick Frost.
Nick Frost, yeah.
And this is Tina doing this one woman show. She's wasting these guys left and right. She, the poor guy who had his eye stabbed out, she shoots his other eye out, which I guess he doesn't care. He's dead. Lou finally breaks free, you know, and right as Tina's getting into a fight with the mayor,
who has a sword.
Yeah. So they're, yeah. So she's even taking on somebody with a freaking sword. But then Wolf Cop gets a little liquor in him. I don't remember where that came from.
He kept it on him. Oh, no, he took it from Willie, who had it on the ground, because Willie had some kind of flask or something.
Oh, okay. It would have made sense for him to have it. I mean, he is Lou. I mean, with the amount of stuff he dumps in with his flask, I imagine he actually has like 5 or 6 flasks on him at all times. Because it's not going to work if you have one flask and like first thing in the morning you're dumping it all out. Like, well, that now you're out of liquor. Like, that's not going to work. So this is kind of bringing to the close of the movie. And Lou, you know, kind of gets into the final fight with the sheriff, takes him out, which I thought this was cool, because you're kind of waiting for like some kind of big physical confrontation, and they kind of took a note from Indiana Jones, and Lou just like draws his sidearm and shoots him and takes him out. And then we get into the credits, and we get I almost think they should have had this at the beginning of the movie. I think it might have been a little wasted in the credits, but this awesome Wolf Cop rap.
Yeah, that's true. And so I hate when that happens. That happens in a lot of movies. I mean, didn't it happen Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze? They had a sweet Ninja Turtle rap that happened at the end of the credits. It's like, lead with that stuff.
Yeah. That is that's Wolf Cop from beginning to end. And, you know, like we've been saying all the time, this was an awesome movie. I think this is probably the best one we've done yet. This was exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah.
When we started this, was looking for these, you know, lesser known kind of diamonds in the rough type movies. This one, I mean, it really blew me away. When I looked at the IMDb page and saw that the budget was $1 million Canadian, which I don't know what the exchange rate is, but no matter what, you're not talking about a lot of money when you're talking about a major, full length movie. What these guys did with that amount of money is nothing short. It's just astounding to me. I thought the acting was good throughout. Some things might have been a little flat here and there, but I've seen movies in the theater this year with worse acting than this movie. The effects were phenomenal. Whoever did the makeup and like all the blood work and like the transformation of his like skin being ripped apart and all that. Just like, again, I mean, it was top notch, A plus. If you asked me how much money I would have thought they had to make this movie, I mean, $20-30 million would have been my guess.
Oh, easily. Yeah, I mean, it was almost kind of like a dream team. They had a great staff, I mean, to do all this, you know, special effects and all the, you know, people doing the stuff behind the scenes, but the acting was great. There wasn't like a character that really just took, you know, the show or anything like that. Every one of them was great. I don't really think there was an actor or actress that I was like, man, they're really killing the vibe of this movie. Like, everybody kind of was in on it, and everyone was having a lot of fun doing it, and it showed in the film.
Absolutely, yeah. And something that we had talked about last week, or not last week, but our last episode for Congo, was kind of talking about expectations and how that factors into what we rate a movie. So with Congo, that was a major release based on a best-selling novel. It had a budget of $50 million.
You had writers from Jurassic Park. You had people. It was literally like, didn't make sense how it failed.
Yeah. And you end up with that mess of a movie.
Yeah.
This with, you know, what I can only imagine is just a ragtag group of very passionate people on a shoestring budget and truly made a gem. I mean, this, I even aside from if you like cheesy, if you like horror movies, if you like monster movies, like, you have to check out Wolf Cop. This is, if you haven't already, it's definitely worth it.
Definitely.
So overall, 5 out of 5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 cheese wheels. What was your favorite quote? Did you have one?
There's a couple different ones. The
take off your gitch.
Yeah, I mean, the take off your gitch is definitely going to be like the most quotable one from this movie for me. I think the other one that I thought was good was when Lou kind of comes around when he's tied up to the chain or tied up to the tree and sees that the mayor is also the bartender. And, you know, they say like, oh, we've been running this town for 200 years. And he's like, I can't believe I slept with a 200-year-old woman. And her response is like, who said I was a woman?
Yeah, I mean, and for me, my favorite line was that, you know, when he's changed into a wolf for the first time in front of Willie, and he's getting ready to take, you know, a phone call to answer the call of, you know, for help, and Willie's like, but you're, Lou, you're a wolf. And then he goes, cop. Is this perfect?
Yes.
Great writing.
Truly. This was great. All right, so you want to talk about the next one?
Yeah, so the next film we're going to do, and this is a throwback, it's actually a recommendation from my sister, and said that it was a very terrible movie. They tried watching it on Netflix and couldn't get through it because of the bad acting. And, you know, a special moment for Andrew and I, because we were raised Catholic, and this is a Catholic story. All right, well, I guess it's more of a Jewish story. I don't know. Like, it's from the Old Testament.
You're really putting your 12 years of Catholic school to shame here.
The movie is... Netflix. I don't know if it's a Netflix original. I doubt it. It's probably
it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. I don't want to like tarnish.
Yeah, don't put that on Netflix.
Don't put that bad juju on them. But it's David and Goliath, and I watched the preview. It looks like this is may take the gold crown from Raptor Island. It looks like it's bad acting, bad special effects. And probably more budget than Wolf Cop. You know, like, I would love to do some research on this and see what it is, because I can't wait to.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. And I'll definitely be thanking Heather. Maybe in a week when we're putting out our check it out Facebook posts and all that, it'll actually be like, God help you stay away.
Yeah.
But, well, we'll see. Let's not going to judge it before we see it. You know, this one certainly surprised us, and maybe David and Goliath will too. Maybe Heather just has different tastes in movies than we do.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, it looks pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I've watched the preview. In the preview alone, you see terrible, like, copy and paste green screen people, since they couldn't afford more than enough actors. So they have, like, the same actor doing the same movement, like, 14 times on one shot. Oh. And then there's just random horses walking by in like green screen horses. So there'll be like two characters talking and a horse will just walk in front of them. But it won't actually be really there. It's like a fake horse walking in front of them. I don't want to give it too much away, but next episode it's gonna be brutal. I don't think it's gonna be as positive as this one.
Yeah, this was
Easily the best.
We have the least criticism for this one out of all of them by far. So, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. If you have any recommendations for us, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter. Send it to us. You know, we'll get to it eventually. We got a couple different recommendations. We have another one from another writer director. I guess saw the Wolf Cop stuff on Twitter that we'll probably end up doing after David and Goliath.
Yeah, and we have a couple more recommendations from fans, so we have kind of a small list, but, you know, keep them coming because we want to keep doing this show as long as possible. So,
right, do you have anything else?
No. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Logan.
And I'm Andrew.
Have a great day or evening whenever you're listening to this. Later.
Good night. Good morning.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Well, here at last, dear friend. On the shores of the sea comes the end of our podcast. Go in peace. I will not say, do not weep. Not all tears are an evil.